Thank you. This morning is our in our series on James. We're in James chapter 3, and it's all about our words. It's the pressures of our speech, our tongue, to taming, the taming of the tongue. You're saying, wow, to have words. Are words powerful? We flew in an airplane last night, and the turbulence was so bad, I thought the wings were going to fall off. I said, Ronald Lee, are the wings still out there? And the pilot would come on and say, now we've been talking to all the air traffic controllers all over America here, and we're trying to find a level altitude where we can get away from all this turbulence, but there isn't one. And I go, oh, great. You know, was there a lot of communication going on? Was there a lot of words being talked from all the traffic controllers and all the pilots, hundreds and hundreds of them all over America talking to one another? Words are wonderful. Words are powerful. And God created words to have a time where you say, this is wonderful. On our time in Florida with Andrew's children, we had a 10-year-old, a 7-year-old, a 4-year-old, and an 18-month child. Words. The little one, the words were, is that a word? Let me tell you, she knew what she was wanting. She knew the exact, You know, I said, talk to me. And she had words, they were only one little syllables, but she knew exactly how to communicate. And when she wanted to let you know that she didn't like what you were doing, she had a word for that too. And it was amazing. And then there's Adabel, and she just, yip, 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 yip. It just never stops. Words, communicating. Who taught you to talk, young girl? And then there's Arden, you got to get him to talk. Arden, talk. And then Liam's at that age of why, and it's all literal. Dad, you said this and this and this. Shut up, kid, you know. And words. Words are powerful. And God loves words. He wrote words. Is that right? Words communicate great truth. But they are hard. This little thing right here is hard to control. And this morning is about, let's control it. Let's make certain that the words that come out our mouths build instead of blast. Is that right? Help instead of hurt, you know. It's so important that we have to work at that. Everybody, in James chapter 3, verses 1 to 10. Josh, come up and read it for us. James chapter 3, verses 1 to 10.
If everybody could stand too after you find it, please. All right, James chapter 3, starting in verse 1. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which, though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and it boasts great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and it sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea, is tamed, and has been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. May be seated.
Thank you. James chapter 3, It's wonderful to think about what's going on in all of the activities here. The tongue is strong. The tongue is very strong. It's a strong piece of equipment here in verses 4 and 5. Look at it. James chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. It's puny, but it's powerful. It gives the illustration of the ship in verse 4 and the rudder. It's very small, but boy, it turns a ship wherever it wishes. And the tongue is a small member, but it can just turn the fires of hell on. Is that right? It can just mess everybody up. You put two boys in the same room, after a while they're fussing. Is that right? They're fussing. I challenge all of the second to sixth grade to listen carefully, because I see so much of fussing between brothers and sisters. Is that right? And just words. And we need to realize that God says that blessing and cursing ought not to come from the same source. And so let's work on that. And the tongue is strong, but the mouth is weak. The mouth is weak. Look at the next one there. Verse 2, it says, if any man offends all, he says, we all stumble and we all fall in words. The whole body is bridled by a horse and controls it all. And the words are weak and we stumble and fall and we need help. And we make mistakes and say things wrongfully, and our tongue is out of control. And it says, man, to understand that you need to control this. And if a man controls his mouth, he's a perfect person. Nobody can control it. It needs help. The tongue is strong, but the mouth is weak. And you say, God, help us there. Thirdly, the tongue is wicked in verses 6 to 8. It's wicked. It is out of control. It says, verse 6 to 8, the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. And so is the tongue among members, that it defileth the whole body and set on fire the course of nature. The Greek there is that it's a circle of life. It is beyond you. Your tongue affects other people. It's the whole circle of life. And its influence is just not you. When it comes out your mouth, it goes into all the hearers and it has that ripple effect. And it's just not your problem. And it is set on the fires of hell. That's the word Gehenna. And that was the fireplace that was burning all the time. And he just says, hey, it is something that it can just start a forest fire right now. It can start a problem. Can just one little word cause a whole problem in your home? Brother, sister, mom, dad, to dad, to son, to dad, to daughter. Is that right? Just one word. And he says, it can cause all kinds of problems. It is wicked. Verse 15 and 16, it just says, it's earthly, right in the middle. It's sensual. It's devilish. It's demonic. Do you realize you have a fallen tongue? You have a fallen tongue. Things come out of it you can't believe sometimes. Is that true? And some things come out of the mouth of your children. You say, wow. And you say, so the devil's involved, our world's involved, our nature's involved, and we have a problem here. And it is a problem there. Verse 16, and where envying and strife is, there is confusion, disorder in every work. There's jealousies, there's selfish ambitions, and all of that comes to pass. We got to say, God, help us. God, help us, because the tongue is wicked. And then verse 14, it says, but if ye have bitter envy, jealousies and strife, selfish ambitions in your heart, glory not and lie not one to another. Lying. If you have a problem with lying, oh man, let God talk to you. Truth wins. Is that right? It's best, children, it's best to tell the truth and get punished for it than to tell a lie and get punished later, because it always comes out. That's why truth is best. Always tell the truth. Oh my, never. If you're starting lying, it just continues. And it's terrible. Second to sixth grade, note that. It looks so good sometimes that, well, I'm not going to tell the truth. But oh, you want to tell the truth because that's what it's all about. You know, the tongue is strong, but the mouth is weak. The tongue is wicked, so the mouth cannot be trusted. Verse 9 to 12, it says, you bless God with one mouth and you curse men that are made in the image of God. Out of the mouth shouldn't come the same thing. And then it goes into verse 11. Well, a fountain, a spring doesn't produce bitter water and fresh water. It doesn't. A salty sea is just salty, and you don't have fresh water. It's one or the other. And he says, we must not trust our mouths and our tongues. And he says, be careful, because out of it comes all kinds of evil and blessing and cursing. Ought not to be, brethren. And he says, and here's my last point, and here's where I'm going to camp. Verse point number 5. So every day for the rest of your life, let God tame your tongue. Verse 13. It is so important to catch this and to realize that, wow, God, you help me here and make this happen in my life. And verse 13, it says, who is wise man among you and dude with knowledge among you? Let him show out, prove it with his good conversation, his honorable living, and his good works with meekness, humility, and wisdom. And you say, God, help me as I do this. Verse 17, it says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, then gentle, easily to be entreated, full of mercy, of good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy, and of the fruit of righteousness, sown in peace of them that make peace. We got to say, man, God, if I don't have your help, my mouth's going to get me in trouble. God, help me with my mouth, because it is a mouth that's weak, and it's a mouth that's wicked, and it cannot be trusted, and I need your help. Everybody keep your place in James chapter 3 and go with me to Philippians chapter 2. Everybody, grade schoolers, everybody, Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 to 16. I want you to know you're not alone in this battle with your tongue, in words coming out your mouth to your brother, your sister, to mom, to dad, and ought not to be. Should we allow our children to talk back to us? I think it's the dad's job to make certain that the kids don't talk that way to their mother. I think it's the mother's job to say, you don't talk to your father that way. Is that true? It's very important. Now they can say, you don't talk to me. But it's best that the father says, you don't talk that way to your mother. My dad would say, you know, she brought you in the world and she can take you out. You know, it's important that we realize that today is back talk and bad mouthing parents just acceptable? It should not be. Brothers, these things should be children. My goodness, you just don't do that. And all kinds of bad mouthing and lying. If a kid starts lying, it messes their whole life up. Is lying just a expected thing in our culture today? Yeah. But it's wrong and it messes up. Don't let that start in your soul, in your young soul, in your older. Don't do it. And then bad mouthing one another and then back talking. That should not be allowed at all. Parents, don't allow it. And dad, mom, get involved there to make that happen. And you realize, wow, that is something that's important. Philippians chapter 2. Everybody there, 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have obeyed, always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. And then this is where I want you to catch. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Work out what God has already worked in. Do you have a part in this? God, help me with my tongue. God, my tongue gets me in trouble. I gossip. I can gripe and complain. I can just badmouth somebody. God, help me with my tongue. God, help me work out. God, you know, I'm going to give my tongue to you, Lord. Help my tongue to say right things. God, I'm working on it. Help me. I love verse 13. Let's all read verse 13. You're not alone in this battle. Verse 13, let's read it. For it is God which worketh in you both to and to of His good. You mean God's going to help me with my tongue? Yes! It's just not you. It's you and God. Now you got to say, God, help me. And He will help you. There is supernatural power within you with God. Is that true? I want you to catch that. That is so important. God, my mouth gets me in trouble all the time. As a teenager, my mouth gets me in trouble. As a kid, I start being feisty. I start griping and complaining. I start complaining. I start bad-mouthing somebody. I start putting people down. I start defending myself. Man, this gets you in trouble a lot. Work out what God's put in you. God, help me. You've put in me self-control, and Lord, help me with my mouth. Help me to build instead of tear down. Help me to be a blessing instead of a cursing. Help me, God. Help me to bless. Help me to encourage. Help me to lift my siblings, my home, at school, whatever. God, help me. And then it's God who's working in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Verse 14, do all things without murmuring and disputings. Right there it is. Do it. Don't murmur and dispute. Verse 15, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in this crooked and perverse nation among whom ye shine as lights. Change this world. Somebody's cursing and swearing. Don't preach down to them, but put your arm around them and say, do you know what comes out of your mouth? Most people, if you do it humbly, will say, I do, and I wish I could quit. Now, if you're preaching at them, now, humble, is that right? Humble. It's amazing. It's amazing what happens. It says we live in a world, we're lights. We should show by our speech that we're children of God. Holding forth the word of life, the word of life's main verse here, that ye may rejoice in the day of Christ, in the judgment, and have not run in vain, nor labored in vain to live. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Huh? That's how you get victory. And it's wonderful to catch that and to say, God, it is you in me, and we're going to do it together. Say, how do we do this? Verse 1, we need to fear God. This is so important. Everybody catch this. You need to fear God. Look at verse 1. In the King James, it uses the word masters. In other versions, what word is used besides masters? Teachers, okay? This is talking about somebody teaching the Bible, be it a Bible study, be it a Sunday school class, be it a sermon, be it just giving a devotional. It says, be careful, because the person who speaks, God's listening, and you're going to give an account. I believe I'm going to give an account this morning for every word I say, times the number of people that hear it. Do I take what I say seriously? God does. You need to be fearful of God. Does God hear every word you say to your brother? Does God hear every word you say to your sister? Does God hear every word, teenager, older child, that you say under your breath to your parents? What did you say? Oh, nothing. Yeah. God hears, and God's going to hold you accountable, and He's going to judge you one day. And you need to realize you don't get by with God. He hears every word. He loves to hear you do good words. But you need to confess all your bad words. It's important. God hears. Fear Him. Isn't it wonderful? If you say the right things, He'll bless you. And the whole issue is hey, be careful. Everybody's going to give an account. And you that start teaching the Bible, I think we should try to be teachers, but take it serious. It's not a game. It's not an entertainment. It's the book of God that you're talking about. It's serious business. And God says, be careful. Be careful. And then we need to know that to do that, we need to tame ourselves. We have the Proverbs here. Put up the Proverbs here. Put up the next one there. It just says, don't let your mouth speak dishonest. You know, don't let it. It says, wise of knowledge. I want to catch that word knowledge. I see so many parents that all they do is put their kids in front of a TV and cartoons and just let it go. Do you know cartoons aren't funny anymore? Man, in my day, cartoons were funny. Beep, beep, you know. Didn't have much to, you know. Cartoons today, folks, have wizards in it, has all kinds of supernatural stuff in it. It has nothing about God in it. I think we're fooling ourselves with video games. Check your games out. Is that true? Check your games out. Music. Do y'all know what's on these music stations, hip-hop and all this? You know what they're saying? Most parents don't know what they're saying. But do the kids know what they're saying? And they're getting in their minds. And they're getting in their minds. And it's so important, because once it gets in your mind, it's going to come out in your mouth and your activity. And I'm very disturbed, because we parents don't just be a lazy parent and stick your child in front of a television and just let them watch. No. Or give them a book to read. Should a parent know what's in a book their kids are reading? Well, that just takes too much effort. Well, huh? You either pay now or pay later. And do you know what's in their video games? I'm not against video games. Some video games are just plumb fun. Okay? But you need to check them out. And it's very important to realize the words coming at you on all these points. You're saying, wow, these are powerful words. And you realize that the knowledge there is coming in today. Evildoers are trapped and they're talking there. The lips of lying lips. And it says, guard your lips. We're going to get that. Put the next list up here. I want you to read this on the front of your bulletin. It just gives you the lips and the snares and our way we talk. We talk too much. And our mouth there, my goodness, it's hurtful in the next one there, Proverbs 26. And we're haste in our talk. We're quick to talk. Should we be slow to speech, the Bible says? Quick to hear. Is that right? Slow to anger and not be hasty in it all. And it's fearful things. The next one is guard your heart. First, we need to fear God, and that helps us tame the tongue. And then secondly, we guard the heart, because out of the heart comes what we say. Is that right? And so verse 17, look at it. Verse 17 and 18. It is so important that we grasp that, because what is pure, what is peaceable, what is gentle, what is easily entreated, what is not partial, what is, you know, what is something that we are not hypocritical, and what is righteous, and what is peace-giving. These things, that's what we want to enter in, so it comes out, and we say, we got to make this. Guard your heart. Guard your heart, because out of your heart, what comes out of the mouth. And we need to guard that in every aspect of our lives. And to do that, we have this thing called think. This is in your bulletin. This is in your bulletin. This is really good. I want you to go home, and I want you to go over the Proverbs on the front of your bulletin, and then I want you to go through this with your kids and with your family. It says, before you speak, think. This is really good. First question, is it true? Is it true? If it's not true, what should you do? Shut up. Okay? Is it helpful? Or is it hurtful? Is it helpful? Yes. Okay? And then the third one is it inspiring? Does it encourage? And then the fourth one, is it really necessary? Is there so much blabbing going on today of no necessary? Most television is just blab, 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 blab. And then the last one, is it kind? going with the acronym of THINK. Is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? Is it kind? Run through that. Those are a great list of, is this worthy of me talking about it? Should I be talking about this? Should these be words coming out of my mouth? And then finally, only blessing should come out. Verse 9 and 10, it says, therefore bless we God, even the Father. I trust you know how to praise God. Do you know your day should be praising God? Now, coming to church is wonderful. I love this morning. We got to be inspired by the work up at the camp and realize we had a part of that camp and the salvations and our kids going to camp this summer and all the thousands going to camp. We have a part in it. Amen? And if you didn't go and you prayed for us, you have a part in it. And then you just realize Patrick playing his trumpet and then we sing in the songs and then we realizing we can get involved in VBS and all of that, and we can come back tonight and be inspired in Revelation 18 and Wednesday night in Isaiah 43 and to realize that God's going to talk, and then we sang some more, and I trust that it doesn't matter what we sing, you should just grab heaven. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. And if you say, oh, I'm bored, oh man, you're missing some good stuff. Because you're coming to hear from God and be touched by God and be inspired by God and being lifted by God and being taught by God. And you realize that, wow, the prayer Brother Gaff prayed and then the choir singing. Amen. I trust that you just let church be something that's wonderful and then let it go into your day, into your life through the week. Because it should be blessing coming out of your mouth. And you should just praise God. Enter into every part of our worship. And then just be a blessing. Come to church and just go around and encourage people. You should be sitting there pre-service, listening to the music and looking at people. And if somebody's discouraged, you should pray for them. Is that right? And if somebody needs to be talked about, get talked to and encouraged. Get up out of your seat. Oh, wow. And go talk to them. And stick around afterwards and talk and encourage, because it should be blessing coming out of your mouth, lifting. Man, it's wonderful. Not cursing, not tearing down. Brother, these all never to tear it apart and to let it just fall apart. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, it says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building up, for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Proverbs 15:11, it says, a gentle answer turns away what? Wrath, and harsh words stirs up anger. Is that right? And that's the key of it all. Young people, children, what comes out of your mouth can just be a blessing to people, or it can just be a downer. I want to bless people. I trust you realize that I'm going to say, God, I'm going to give God my tongue. And when I'm around people, I want to be helpful. I want them to lift. I want them to be encouraged. I want to point them to God by my words. And it says, and God will help me. God will help me.